Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our body, mind, and spirit. And so many people today are coming forth with revelations, connections to the greater cosmos, a bigger picture of who we are as human beings. And that's why I'm so happy to have back on my show tonight Ina Siegel, who's very connected to an awareness that is bringing health to the body, peace to the mind, and joy to the spirit. How's that as an introduction, Ina?
That's a very good introduction, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk with you again. And I know your journey has sort of started with the body, through the body, and the healing crisis you went through, and then the revelations about this psycho-emotional body connection. But, you know, at the source of all of this, I just read a line recently that says there's an incorruptible core. There's a place in us that is pure and so in touch with the source of all that is, that all these other aspects around us is what sort of gets corrupted when we move away from that center. Does that apply to what you're working with at all?
Well, it definitely applies because, you know, in life there are so many challenges and things are happening on a daily basis where we can, you know, lose the plot in a way and just feel overwhelmed, stressed, and, you know, anxious or depressed. And so to actually connect to that core of who you are and to keep coming back to it and reminding yourself again and again, I think this is where, you know, we can, I guess, really feel our source and who we are and our spirit and our divinity.
But is there a way that you particularly remind people? I mean, I think what I suggest is meditation or just going in, but how do you get people in your work back to that place?
Well, firstly, I've been really focused on wellness, and I really talk to people about making that a priority in their life.
And physical wellness, the physicalness.
Really on all levels.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about a lot is the fact that, you know, we don't have to have a reason to feel good or happy or that state of love, but we need to keep connecting to it on a daily basis. So it's almost like any time we move away from it into a fear-based, stressful thoughts, which most people are very familiar with, to come back and to go, I just connect with who I am and be happy for no reason.
So, Ina, you were saying that as we find that incorruptible core, that center, how do you get people there? You said focus on the wellness and what else?
Really focusing on just being happy for no reason, being, you know, connecting back to their divinity. Sometimes, you know, because I like people to connect to their bodies, you know, sometimes I might just get them to place their hands on their hearts and really breathe into the heart and literally visualize the heart expanding. You might remember that I love working with color. So I might get people to concentrate on a particular color and literally bring that color through their whole body and surround, you know, themselves with it. I often get them to work with my book, The Secret Language of Your Body, on a particular process, you know, where they're, acknowledge and release whatever they're feeling, but then come back to gratitude or come back to that sense of, you know, I'm connected, I have support, I'm, you know, living this life from a place of divinity, and I can start to co-create the life that I want, even if there's challenges, but at the same time, on a daily basis, coming back to that feeling and that thought, no matter what's happening outside myself, I am the one who experiences life from inside. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think that's actually a really important point, the experience of life from the inside, because that is then the power we give to our consciousness, is the understanding that we are this experience living from the inside out, not the environment and the stresses and all the things that we identify ourselves with in the world, but we're the core again.
Another thing, that there's a really simple process that I teach people, and I find it really amazing in terms of just how instantly things change. And what I do is I'll say, okay, let's say that in your life there are 10 steps to your bliss. And let's say, you know, you start from step one, and this is the furthest step away from where you want to be. And step 10 is like, wow, I'm just, you know, this is heaven. I'm enlightened or whatever. I'm, you know, feeling so fantastic. And I'll say to someone, where are you at today? So they might say, I'm on step 4, let's just say. So right. I'll actually get them to close their eyes, move to that step, and then describe to me how that feels, you know, in terms of their physiology. So does it feel heavy inside? Does it feel light? How does it feel? And then I'll say, okay, what do you need to let go of? And they might start to release a little of different feelings, feeling thoughts. And then I'll ask them to move forward.
And so they are consciously then moving themselves forward with this process by the power of their intention.
Yeah, but then they'll actually step forward because I want them to do it physically.
Oh.
It's the physical aspect that makes it so much more powerful than just doing it in their minds, because in their minds they can start creating all sorts of things. But when they really take a step forward, they feel their bodies. And this is where it becomes really powerful. And I've had people in huge amounts of pain literally move forward and have no more pain.
Really? So what do you think is happening then for them there?
I believe that each step, once I describe the steps to them, represents their consciousness. So when they take a new step, it's like they're entering a completely different consciousness and a completely different reality.
Mm. And it shows up in their life, and their lives shift. So how do they do that again? Can they do that on their own without your help? Yeah. How would they do that?
So they would imagine the steps. So there's 10 steps. Step 10 is like, this is my bliss. This is where I want to be. Then they ask themselves, where am I? You know, which step am I on? Once they've asked, they take, let's say, 2 or 3 steps or 5 or 10 or however many to get to the step where they are. And they start exploring their life from that perspective. Like, how does my body feel physically? You know, what opportunities do I have? What relationships do I have? And how do people react to me? What beliefs do I have about my life? What feelings? Can I let go of some of these? Can I, you know, what is it that I need to release? What do I need to bring to myself? And then once they get it, it's like they can move forward.
And so they already visualize and feel the movement. And as they take the physical step, they're actually in the reality that they just imagined, that
exactly,
they created.
Exactly, a new one. Yeah.
The new reality. Yes. So
then they're like, okay, how does it feel on this step? Maybe I've never been on it, or maybe I have. What is my life like? How do I feel physically? You know, what opportunities are open to me?
Mm-hmm. So would you say your work is changing this way to facilitate people more as in this kind of practical way, or has it always been like that? I'm interested in how your work is changing, how you're evolving, how you're working with people is also shifting.
I would say that I've always worked with people practically, but now I'm really focused on evolution of consciousness. And now I understand what that really means because I've been going through that process in a deep way. So it's kind of like healing for me now is a doorway to something that's bigger, you know. So it's like, yes, it opens up your intuition, it opens up your heart, but there is something more, which means that you literally shift levels of consciousness, meaning that you can have all sorts of experiences that might be the same types of experiences, but in yourself, you react to them differently, you feel differently, and you still might get angry, you still might cry, you still might feel frustrated, but it's coming from a completely different space.
But let's talk about this thing about the evolution of consciousness, because that's a term like I throw around a lot. A lot of people throw it around, and think people really know what that means or what it's about, because in a way, consciousness is singular. There is no evolution to what consciousness is. And of course, there's shades of consciousness that do shift and grow and evolve. But, you know, consciousness itself is, in a sense, all that there is. But what's been happening with you actually? I mean, what has facilitated this awareness of the evolution of consciousness, if you want to like share like personal experiences along those lines?
For me, I think it's always been an exploration, and I have, you know, looked a lot at different people's work that have inspired me, and definitely I've looked at David Hawking's work. And I guess it made a lot of sense to me, and I've really explored the understanding of one, different stages of healing, and two, how do you feel when you are in a particular state, and what experiences do you create? And also the fact that when we really connect there.
Hey, so Ina, you were saying that that your process of evolution was, well, go into that again. I know we got interrupted, but so go into that again a little bit.
Well, for me, I have for quite a few years been exploring healing and trying to understand what it is, and then what it's capable of. And I really felt at one point that, you know, there was more than just kind of working on releasing issues that we have. And at different moments, by connecting to certain people and feeling incredible love, I remember at different times just going, this is beyond love. This, you know, this doesn't feel like love. It feels like something much, much deeper and much higher. And when I would go into those states, it was incredible because it was like all the fear, all the limitations would completely fall away, and it would just be this incredible joy and peace. And so I realized that what I wanted to experience was really living from those places. And from reading, you know, David Hawking's work as well, I really felt like I understood, in a sense, what he was talking about, based on the fact that, you know, at certain levels of our consciousness, we are really in that linear reality where, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and everything is like, if you do this, you know, one thing, it leads to a particular result. But what I found when you went into a higher level of consciousness, it was kind of like you didn't have that linear experience anymore. It was like things started would flow, and this is where miracles would happen, or, you know, incredible insights would come, and, you know, deep healings would occur. And it all, you know, as I was exploring those states, I realized that, you know, as you really start to live your life from that perspective of love, but again, I know we throw that word around, but really kind of surrounded by it's so hard to put it into words because it's, you know, it's a feeling, it's a state, and it's an awareness. But the awareness is like, you know, anything is possible. And I know I'm not alone and I'm connected to divinity and things can happen, you know. And actually one of the really cool experiences that I had with that was last year when I... Actually, my husband was with me in Europe, and he just left. And I was quite sad that he had left because I still had over a month by myself in Europe. And I was just feeling a little overwhelmed about how many places I had to go and all the things I had to do. And I think I was, so overwhelmed. I was crying and sad that he'd left. And then I got a really bad headache from it. And I had to go and do a conference in front of, I think, at least 100 people. So I was thinking, oh, my God, now I have a headache. That's really not a good state to be in when you're trying to inspire people because I'm not feeling it right now. And I'm always connecting and asking for divine help, and I'm aware of some of my, I guess, guides. And one of them is actually Babaji, and... one of my guides is Babaji, and to me, having any kind of experiences with him or connecting to him or when he wants to connect always takes me out of the ordinary into something that is really expansive and extraordinary, and I can literally see the limitations. And so that day I was thinking, you know, like, I'm too tired to start to do self-healing, to be honest. And maybe, you know, I'll just do it the easy way and get it, you know, like a tablet, and, which, you know, is not really my way, but occasionally it happens. So, you know, and I understand when other people do it as well. And when I was reflecting on this, I actually saw Babaji in front of me, and I said, you need to help me. I really need your help. And he said, that's fine. I don't think you need to take medication. And I said, okay, but how are you going to help me? And he said, I'm going to guide you, but you trust. And it was a really amazing experience where I had to go on a train to get to the place where I needed to go. And when I was in the train, somebody started playing really loud music. And I said to him, is this a test? Like, what am I meant to do? Because it's getting worse. And he said, breathe and relax, you are too stressed. And I said, fine. So I'm breathing, and then he said, why don't you try gratitude? And I'm like, right now, like in the middle of my headache? And he said, yeah. And so I started reflecting on it, and he said, but like, really focus on the people that you don't feel grateful for. And I said, fine. And then, you know, as I was doing it, I got out of the train and I ended up going the wrong way, and there was like this huge band, you know, and I was like, why is this happening? And he said, just be with what you know is true, not what's coming up in your body. So that was really interesting. And then I got out and it was pouring rain, and I was like, great, okay. You know, and as I walked towards the place, it was kind of, the headache was actually getting worse and worse. And then he said to me, it's just clearing, so just be connected with yourself. And I was meeting some friends, and I said, please, like, you really need to help me. And he said, get some green juice, you know. So I had some, and it was a little bit better. And then he said, have the second drink. So I had the second drink, and I felt so much better afterwards. And I remember my friends left, and I went outside, and all of a sudden, I had the most unbelievable feeling of joy. It was like, but it was so strange because it felt like every cell in my body was just dancing with this joy. It was like, you know, my head was in a different space, but I was like, wow, this is incredible. I felt so expanded. And then during that particular conference, I really felt that, you know, I had been lifted, and I had this presence of Babaji and this divinity next to me, and literally there were miracles that were happening. People were laughing, they were crying, you know, people were coming up to me and saying, this is the most amazing experience we've ever had in our lives. And we've been to, like, all the gurus and, like, the energy is amazing. And, you know, like, literally, I mean, people were even sending healing to their, you know, their relatives. And then a few days later, I had all these, I met several of the people saying, like, you're not going to believe it, but my mum had this terrible problem with her back and it healed. Or my, you know, my father had digestive problems and he doesn't even believe in this. And I called him yesterday and he doesn't have it anymore. And I'm like, you know, it's like when we really connect to something higher, anything can happen.
No, that was a great story. So it was like there was a real moment that seems to have happened for you where another level of your consciousness opened up so you can start to work on a new level with this kind of experience coming to you. So.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this was just one of the things. There were so many, you know, as well around different, you know, the last year in particular where I really felt like this is the time and people are ready for it. And, you know, I can really talk about it because I've experienced it. And, you know, what was really funny was actually when I was in Mexico maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And, again, I was talking about that divinity and also my connection with Babaji and the support that I felt when I asked for help, not always what I want, but obviously maybe what I need. And it was so funny because some of the people said, okay, well, we want to get a message as well. And I have color cards. And so they were in a group. I think there was about 20 people. And they were shuffling the cards. And they said, okay, we, you know, give us a message, you know, from Babaji. And the card that came up was the rainbow card. And the next day, it was the last day of the workshop. And, you know, at the end, I was saying how grateful I was and how, you know, how amazing the experience of the workshop was. And then some people said, oh my God, and go and look, you know, go to the window. And I went to, you know, we all went to look at the window and there was two rainbows there, kind of like one on top of the other. And I'd never seen two rainbows together so clearly. And they were like, this is the message. This is, you know, this is it. It's like showing us that, you know, something higher is working with us and, you know, it's here. And so, you know, what I also, I really want people to be aware of is that sometimes in our, you know, most joyful moments, we can open up to things, and sometimes in our, you know, deepest, I guess, shadow moments, we can also connect to something that's divine. And I've had both, you know, at different times, and I've seen other people who've had both. And it's like, you know, it's that reminder of I'm not just believing in something that seems like untouchable, but it's actually real, even though there might be days or moments where I doubt it and it doesn't seem real. And so I feel, yeah.
Do you think that there's, I mean, it seems like, not just for you, but a lot of people, there's this elevation or an acceleration of consciousness itself. We are, a lot of us are being called to these higher levels of awareness, and people who are teachers and out there in the public are having the opportunity to share more of these experiences. But fundamentally, there's been a shift on the planet. Well, so what about that, Ina, as far as like the shift in consciousness or the vibration of the planet? I mean, what do you think is going on with that particular, you know, evolution?
Well, I've been quite aware of it for the last probably 5 years at least. I mean, longer really, but that, you know, it's been intensifying. And what I find is that it goes into in cycles. So at different moments, it feels kind of like, you know, for a lot of people, like there's a big opening and it's almost like they get this hit of consciousness and awareness and like, wow, we're going to a different level of operating. And then it's almost like, you know, we have to, I guess, grow up in a sense to own it, to handle it, and all the shadow aspects of ourselves that we maybe have suppressed or didn't even know were there or were not ready to deal with, they come up, you know, and people have to take some time to go, okay, this is what I need to let go of. These are the things that I need to clean up. And so then, so that we can rise again in a sense, you know. And so it feels to me like it's kind of, you know, that aspect of transformation, which includes light and quite a bit of challenge as well, you know, where we have to look at what doesn't work. And there's been huge amount of stuff that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really an opportunity and, you know, to transform, but it's challenging for a lot of people because they're kind of used to being so outside of themselves and just kind of, you know, doing the basics. So now I feel like we're being asked to go to the next level, and it's, you know, it's not as easy as, you know, it sounds in a sense, but it's also very rewarding and amazing.
When you say you've been aware of it for 5 years, what exactly have you been aware of?
I've been aware of the fact that so many people who were, you know, let's say 5 years ago, who wouldn't even speak to me, who would be like, I don't believe anything you say, or, you know, it's not true, only the physical exists, or, you know, I'm just going to go to the doctor and that's it, and I'm, you know, I'm quite content. Now they're actually going, I'm willing to listen. And over the last 5 years, it's been amazing to see how many more people have gone, actually, maybe you have something that's useful to me or truthful, or now it's resonating. I've seen a lot more people coming up to me, and actually when I'll talk about an experience that I've had, you know, which might be a very strange experience, like, you know, speaking to my guide or something like that, they'll be like, I totally get that. Or, you know, in my new book that's going to come out in September called The Secret of Life Wellness, I talk about soulmate experiences, for instance. And in before, maybe like 5 years ago, I'd never really heard people talk about, you know, soulmates that much.
Really?
Except like
I was obsessed with soulmates for years. That's me.
Well, now I'm, you know, getting so many people coming and saying to me, I'm having this experience, this deep and incredible connection, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to process it. Can you help me to understand that, you know, my heart, you know, was deadened and now I'm feeling so much stuff. So it's like, you know, all of this, even it was really funny. I have an organizer and a translator in France, and whenever I would talk about it, actually before, she would just kind of roll her eyes and just go, oh my God, like, can you just move on from this kind of like conversations, I just totally don't get it. And then I saw her last year, and I remember thinking something's totally different about her. Like, she seems more loving. Something's happened. And I mean, she's married with two children and stuff, so it's not like she's met a romantic partner. And then over the next like few weeks, I figured, well, she told me, she's like, I've met a soulmate, and I'm really scared because now I'm feeling my heart. I'm actually connecting, and it's nothing like what I felt before. She's like, please tell me everything you were saying and I wasn't listening to anything you were saying. Mm-hmm. So
it's so much more dramatic now, it seems. Yeah, I get what you're saying, because it's like, you know, for the last 20 or 30 years, it's been a slow building towards this awareness of consciousness. Now everybody, all of a sudden, is sort of becoming a popular sentiment, you know, of what's really happening. I was just in Toronto this weekend with John of God. there are probably about 5,000 people there receiving this etheric healing. But it was so deep and so transformative for so many people that there's a mass movement in consciousness to accept these greater realities. And that's very exciting, isn't it, for us in the field?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and like I said, people who I found, you know, were so skeptical, you know, even like 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, now I'm having conversations and I'm like, I'm even shocked, like going, really? You want to talk to me about this subject? I thought you didn't believe it. And they're like, actually, I had some experiences and now I'm interested, you know. And I was actually at the Mind Body Spirit Festival in New Jersey on the weekend, and had several people come up to me and say, can I ask you a question? I'm feeling spirits, or I'm connecting to something higher, and I'm feeling really different energies, and things are shifting in my life, and can you just give me some guidance, you know, in that? And so it really shows that, you know, there is a shift, and in one way it's fast, and another way it's really necessary, you know. So, and
yeah, so your work is then changing in relationship to that, because I feel you're kind of guiding people who are looking for that next step of connection. So then your work is also becoming something else then, would you say?
It is, and it's really interesting, because even my husband, like, he would say to me often, like when I started, that he'd say, healing is a doorway, you know, like, but you really need to share with people about connecting to divinity and love and high levels of consciousness. And I would be like, yeah, but, like, I'm not there yet, so I can't teach something where I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And I would say to him, when I get it myself, then it's going to just naturally evolve and, you know, we'll experience things. And I found that with different groups, you know, last year was amazing in terms of the intensity of the experience. And I think that's probably the biggest change, just the intensity of things and people in different countries where I would not expect them to be so open. They're just opening, you know, and one of the things I've been talking about is, like, for instance, you know, I'm in Mexico right now, but I've done a lot of media here, and media that is, like, very kind of on the high level, and where millions of people watch it or listen to it. And I've been so impressed with, you know, the people who've been interviewing me, whether it's TV or radio, being so open to this, to these subjects, and actually saying, like, telling me things, and I'm like, wow, you're really evolved. I'm so impressed. It's, you know.
Have you met Jaime Musan? Were you on the Jaime Musan show? He's one of the leading kind of spiritual journalists down there. But anyway, but I do find, like, places like Mexico are very open spiritually. I found a lot of people there open. And I think it's a worldwide phenomenon. It really is something shifting on the planet that is brand new for us humans. It's a renaissance. It's an awakening of spirit. And I think, you know, maybe all those things they said about 2012 were true, that it would be the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and that people would become more and more open to these ideas that transcend religion and the old dogmas, and that these veils between the dimensions are getting thinner. And it's the time of this spiritual renewal, and it's seems by what you're saying and what I've seen and so many other people are experiencing that this is happening. And it's a very exciting time to be around for a new unfoldment of humanity. And so what then is these upcoming workshops that you're doing? What are they? How do they involve this new level of consciousness?
Well, I'm going to be teaching on the 13th and 14th of April in New Jersey, and I am teaching my workshop called The Secret Language of Your Body. And so what I do want people to understand is that as we clear up our ancestral memories, you know, that we've been carrying all along, which is the stuff that holds us back, as well as, you know, our cellular memories of traumas that we've experienced when we were children or when, you know, at whatever, teenagers, at whatever stages of our lives, that as we actually let go, it's like, you know, we create this new space in ourselves, in our hearts, in our souls, and there is a new level of connection that occurs. And so when we start to really open our hearts, which we must do in order to connect to that new energy, it's not just this thing of like, okay, yes, you know, like I understand it as a concept, but really going into the experience of it, because you're literally cleansing out what doesn't need to be there. And as you let go, you get these new awarenesses, you know, new connections, literally, you know, within your nervous system. It's like your nervous system goes, all right, let me expand and regenerate and allow this new reality to come in. You know, and of course, at the same time, physical health is really important for, you know, anyone who's not experiencing good health or experiencing any kind of pain. They know that, you know, the focus becomes on pain and not really on it, you know, much else. And this, you know, this is something that we need to learn how to take care of in ourselves. And as much as, you know, medication can be helpful at times and we, you know, can run to other people to fix us, unless we are also working on it and we know that we can, it's like everything else doesn't come as fully. And, you know, I was actually reading different books last year where they were talking about, you know, enlightened masters, and what was beautiful for me was, again, to hear them say, as much as it's great to kind of leave your body and expand your consciousness and everything, the first thing to take care of is your body, because then you can actually focus on something else as well. So I, and, you know, I'm, like I was saying, for me, ancestral memories have become very interesting to explore and very important, because when we work on them, not only are we healing ourselves, but also we're making a difference to our families, to our children, to, you know, grandchildren that are going to come along.
And we're healing the past as well, that maybe some ancestral energies that have been stuck in kind of astral-type dimensions also get to be free in those healing, those ancestral memories. Do you use family constellations in your work at all?
Not exactly family constellation. I try, you know, I kind of create different processes that, you know, are based on, like, very layered experiences. So, you know, when I'm teaching, I try to do things that people can do at home, you know, like to teach them. And because it's usually not just a one kind of way experience. And but at the same time, you know, I do find that the great thing about having a workshop and having several people there is that, like you said, we're changing, literally changing the consciousness of that part of the, I guess, the, you know, I call it, you know, universal body. You know, so it might be like a mental universal body, which is storing all our beliefs and experiences and how we've lived our lives, and creating something new that gives new opportunities. But also, you know, wherever country I'm in, it's like literally changing you know, the limitations of that country, of that city, of, you know, that part of the, you know, the town. And when we're doing it together, it's so much more powerful as well, because every person's nervous system is literally copying the other person, and, you know, it's like we're all releasing, but in a softer way, but much more, in a sense. So what would take, like, if I was working one-on-one with someone, would take maybe, like, a year to do. I've now been seeing that people can do in a couple of days if, you know, there is a group that is loving and caring, and it's like they're helping together, and often it's subconscious, but it's so powerful.
Mm. Do you also find that doing the workshops keeps you in your heart and keeps you present in your life in that way?
Definitely, you know, and they remind me, because like anyone, you know, I can get caught up in details and little aspects of life, like, you know, this is not working, or, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed, or I have this stuff going on. And when I come back and actually start to teach the workshop, and I have to say, I do practice things daily that I teach, but, you know, life is such that, I mean, I have a very, very crazy life in the sense of I travel all the time and I'm always going to a new country. So, you know, for me, when I'm actually teaching, it's this constant reminder of like, hey, listen, oh, I've forgotten that I could do this, or I've forgotten that I have this tool, or, you know, some new level of consciousness occurs and, you know, I have, I guess, an experience of holding more love, more joy, more peace in that space, but also when challenges come up and actually being able to let go much faster of whatever doesn't work, you know. So it's really powerful.
Well, it feels like we're all building to a critical mass where there'll be, I mean, it's sort of happening, but I think there will be a tipping point collectively that will then make all this work maybe even a little easier for it to happen as this conscious momentum is built. Are you feeling that? That's what I'm feeling.
Definitely. I think that, you know, you've really put it together in the right way. It's like where, like, as each person, you know, each one of us lets go of the fear, you know, but really, even if it's just for a moment, you know, let's go of what, you know, we used to, of the limiting reality that we may have been investing into or buying into, and then moves beyond that. It's like it creates this connection between people that, you know, like that butterfly effect in reality, from people in that could be in a completely different country, in a completely different part of the world, and all of a sudden something happens, you know, and it's like their soul awakens, and it's like, wow, I'm seeing things differently, or, you know, and I agree, as, you know, we move towards the tipping point, it's going to give us a chance to have a very different experience of life, and of course, as it's happening, like I said, all the challenging aspects that haven't worked are also coming up, and this is where courage is very necessary, you know, and faith. And it's easy to give up as well. So it's like we're, you know, I guess being tested in a sense, but in it's almost like, what is your stamina? Like, what is your spiritual, your emotional, your energetic stamina? What can you handle?
And I think, of course, what can we handle? And that's clearing out, I think, the those testing grounds that we're coming through the test. But it also seems like this time of ascension, people have called that, and I think we've talked about that just privately, but I think it seems like that acceleration of being in the body, which is important, and feeling the totality of being in the body, will then start to accelerate consciousness. So these new realms, these new states of being that are unexplored will start to make themselves relevant and happening, just like your experience with Babaji. But I think collectively we're moving into that ascension dimension. Does that make sense?
And I just want to say, like, the other reason for connecting to the body when we're exploring that is to be grounded, because it's so easy if you're not to get lost and confused and kind of end up worse than before. And so the more we have that connection to the body, the more we can tell when something really resonates and feels true, like, wow, that's amazing, to when it's
Yes, no, I agree. Once we're in the body, fully embodied, then we can distinguish levels of consciousness, because without the grounding of the body, we have no way of making those distinctions, because then it just becomes all abstract. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Right, so then can we be more embodied even? Is there the ultimate, I guess the ultimate is the presence in the body, right? The totality of being as present here in physicality, and that then starts a vibration beyond the physical.
And it's also really about being gentle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we, from my experience of traveling pretty much, you know, across half of the world, let's say, people have not been taught gentleness. And part of really being, in, you know, connected to the body and being healthy is learning that. And sometimes we learn it the hard way because we don't take care of it. And so this real softness and gentleness is what allows us not to just be grounded and present in the body, but to enjoy the body and to recognize it consciously, like you said, in the present of, like, I'm feeling really great right now. I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, you could feel really bad, you know, like, and then within a couple of moments, that can shift. And by, you know, I was actually reading somewhere recently about finding, even like exploring aspects that we are so ashamed of and, you know, like push away and find so difficult, and then acknowledging them, and rather than judging, literally imagining that those aspects are floating in this, in our heart, and expanding our heart, and, you know, just filling the heart with love and compassion for the fact that there's a part of us that we've tried to push away, but we're actually willing to embrace it. And I love that, you know, to me that is what gentleness is about, you know.
Well, what I like about what you're saying about gentleness, and you can use this, is that I see the body as like your child, you know. You wouldn't want to give your child anything poison, or you wouldn't want to, like, strain your, or put too much on your precious child. And that's what the body is. It's our, it's the thing we're here to caretake that will then caretake our evolution of consciousness. But the gentleness with the body and the love of the body is this gift we have here, that we're here to be gentle with. Does that make sense?
You know, and this is where also, like, I've been feeling very passionate about food lately, and the fact that, you know, part of that love of the body is being very conscious of what is it that I'm going to put in my mouth, and how am I actually going to eat it, and how am I going to nourish my body. So there are so many aspects of it, and at the end of the day, what I really feel about it is, like you just said before, the more present and conscious we are in our lives, moment by moment by moment, the more we can actually apply all those things, and they become your lifestyle. You know, and this is what I mean about life wellness. It becomes natural to actually go, you know, I only want to eat healthy food because that's what makes my body feel good. I want to stretch and exercise my body because that's actually what's healthy for me. You know, I want to share and connect in loving ways because that feels good, and I want to let go of the people who cause me pain or strain or struggle or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
again,
I
letting
find
go
that,
meaning...
Yeah. No, I think that's really key. I mean, of course, if that person's in your life for a reason, that's another story. But, I mean, as far as eating the right food, I find I eat sometimes things that I think are healthy, but then I feel really exhausted or tired after, and then I think, well, maybe even though it is healthy, you know, maybe to someone who's eating just junk food, to me, I have to do a further refinement of what I'm putting in my body because it's just become more sensitive to what is even health food, you know?
So exactly.
Levels and levels of refinement and gentleness. But then, of course, if I eat something that's really good, I just feel great and light and uplifted. So it's, you know, and I've been eating health food for years, but there's like another level, you know? It's like a whole... new, and I think it has to do probably maybe with this experience I had with John of God, which was so amazing. Ina, you got to go see this guy because I don't know what he does, but he does these etheric infusions or surgeries or interventions, and then it felt as if my whole body was shifting. You know, just etherically, very powerful experience. And then I felt just really clear afterwards. So who knows what's going on, but something etheric is happening that's shifting our vibrational fields, and it's happening within the presence of some of these beings, but it's also our intention as well that's helping to shift these realities. So have you had those kind of experiences with other healers or other people who have a presence like that?
Definitely. My huge belief is in the fact that, you know, we're here to support each other, you know, and not necessarily, like, one of my really close friends, actually, well, good friends, lives in LA, and I've had some, you know, beautiful experiences. I feel like he's extremely evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't feel like I know that
right.
he is, and I've had some amazing experiences in terms of connecting to like high levels of consciousness when I've been around him. And, you know, also like even someone like Michael Beckwith, I remember meeting him in San Francisco one time, and like when I came up to him and he actually held my hands and then he hugged me, I just remember like literally being lifted to this other level of consciousness and and feeling very heightened, but also feeling like just infused with all this beautiful energy, you know, and I was so touched, and I was like, wow, you know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, we can transmit to each other, so definitely.
Right. So as you travel around the world doing your talks and workshops, you kind of meet the people of those cities and countries and all but are people, would you say, more or less the same? I mean, every country might have its own flavor, but the people you meet, do you get the sense that we're all evolving together? Are some places less evolved than other places? I mean, what's your sense of the world view as you travel the world?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, some places where, you know, just because of their culture and just because of, you know, their understanding, it feels like it's easier to teach them, to teach people or to, not just to teach, but to be around them, I guess, in a sense,
right.
Because they're more gentle, they're more aware, more caring, more willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other places that, you know, I'm much more judgmental in terms of things, or, you know, like they've just started kind of their exploration and they're still kind of just dipping their toe in a sense. So it is quite different. And one of the things I've been fascinated about is just learning, you know, like the challenge of each country, so that, like, when I teach very differently in different countries, to a point where I'm like, was that the same workshop? I think it was the same name, but it was not the same workshop.
But what are some of the easier places that you find really open? I'm just curious.
I've really, really enjoyed teaching in Mexico. I've really enjoyed teaching in Spain. I've loved Paris because I've done it lots of times there. I really enjoyed Denmark.
Really? They're open in Denmark, are they?
Yeah, like really. I mean, I love Australia. Obviously, I live there, so I feel like, you know, we've kind of had different stages of things evolving, and now it feels like probably in the last 2 years, people are again waking up a lot more, and there's a huge movement in a sense of exploration and an excitement about it. And I mean, Australia is just a very cool country to live
Where
in.
Where in Australia are you?
I'm in Melbourne.
Well, you're in Melbourne. I'll visit you if I'm ever down that way.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really beautiful place.
Mm. So you're coming to Pennsylvania, and what's the dates again?
13th and 14th of April. Mm-hmm. And
you're teaching
people
that.
People can actually
yes.
find out more details on if they go to in-light-events.com or my website, which is innersiegel.com. And, yeah, it's going to... I haven't taught that much, actually, in the U.S. And, like, I mean, workshops that are more substantial, like 2 days or longer. And so it's, yeah, it's really exciting to be able to do it and just...
And this is the secrets of your body. This is the workshop, The Secrets of Your Body?
Yeah, The Secret Language of Your Body.
So it's like basically your body, if there's an issue in a part of your body, and this is where you expand on Louise Hay's work, you find out what is that physical, emotional connection to that part of the body, right? I know that's simplifying it.
It's that. And then what I really want people to understand is, how is it related to what's happening in their life so that they can make adjustments? You know,
give me an example of that.
So, for instance, you know, let's go with something easy like the heart, right?
Okay.
There, we know that pretty much everywhere in the world, like, the biggest killer is, like, heart problems and heart attacks. So what I'm trying to get people to understand is when they connect to their hearts, like, what am I doing in my life, you know, besides the obvious things like the food, you know, and so on, what am I actually doing in terms of my relationships that is causing, let's say, pain in my heart or degeneration in my heart? Like, who is it, you know, in my, whether it's my family or my partner, how am I communicating with them? And, you know, whilst I can do all sorts of processes and get, you know, acupressure, acupuncture, or, you know, like healing, and this is where consciousness comes in as well, unless I really change my point of view and change how I am relating to a particular person or a situation, then, like, none of the processes are really going to hold. And this is really, to me, that's what responsibility is about, you know. Or it might be, you know, a digestive issue that the person is having, and it's based on, you know, experiences that they might have suppressed or they have, you know, pushed down and they don't speak about, they feel ashamed of, or something that's trauma that happened to them. And unless they, one, recognize and let go, and then maybe it's taking away their power. And, you know, let's take something like general, like, so many people do what somebody else wants them to do. You know,
right.
From childhood, it's like, make your parents happy, make this person happy. And so they might you know, have a job, and they don't even know necessarily that they're doing it to please someone else. And as they connect, let's say, to their stomach or their solar plexus, they realize, I really don't like this. Mm. Maybe it pays good money or maybe it doesn't, but actually it's not worth it for me. Mm. And so as they realize it, they might go, I'm going to change my whole career. I'm going to change my whole life and start taking steps towards that or their life purpose or whatever. But what I found in the last, especially 2 years, that unless people recognize what is it that I'm doing in my life and make those changes, then whilst the healing can almost be miraculous sometimes, it won't last unless you have participated in it in some way or form, and you're actually going like, okay, now I've taken back some of my power. And we're not speaking of power in an egotistical type of way, but like the fact that I can feel capable and good about myself, and that I can do stuff that I want to do that inspires me.
So people go there, and then they really are looking at their lives. It's not like they're just taking an intellectual course. You're pushing people, in a way, back on themselves to say, okay, what's not working? What's my body telling me about where my consciousness is at?
Exactly. And, you know, at the same time, also, as we let go of all our fear and protection, it's like intuitively we start to realize that the body is our, you know, one of our biggest allies, and our guidance system, it's telling us this is not okay, this is okay, this is how it can work. It's like you were saying, this process of refinement. How would we know things if we didn't have a body to, you know, like in this physical reality, to have some reflection in our awareness? And so I want people to kind of learn to honor it and to go, this is my compass, you know, and the clearer I am, the better the compass works. And I remember actually one of the people who did my workshop quite a few years ago, he was this businessman who had like, he had 1,000 people working under him. He was making huge amounts of money, you know, but living his life in a very destructive way. And I actually remember what was so interesting was that I did a distance healing with him, and the first thing that I kept seeing was that he was like a frog pretending to be a prince, and that he was dishonest. And after about 15 minutes, I just said to him, listen, if you want to continue this session, either you're going to be honest with me or let's just leave it. I'll give you back your money because I don't, you know, I'm not going to play this game. And then he told me things, and I said to him, if you don't make changes, I don't know how long you have left, and I don't like saying that to people. I very rarely do. He was one of the few people that I had told that to.
Well, he needed to hear it, though, right? I mean, it wasn't...
Say that again?
You weren't saying it to him because you wanted to offend him. He needed to hear that.
Yeah.
You were the sort of the voice of the universe.
He totally did, and, you know, he ended up coming to several of my workshops, actually, and I remember him telling me, when he came to the second one, he said, it's like he's cleaned up so much stuff that he was saying, it's almost like at the beginning, it's like you have this fish tank, right? And the water in this fish tank is really muddy and dirty. And so if there's more dirt that comes in or more mud, you don't even notice because it's like it's already so dirty. And he said, then you start to clean up and you start to let go and release and recognize things, and all of a sudden this water becomes so clean. It's like you've changed the water in this fish tank that even the tiniest, you know, like negativity or dirt or, you know, anything that comes in, you become very conscious of it, and you're like, no, this doesn't belong here, and it can no longer be part of my reality because now, you know, I'm very aware of what I'm doing in my life and how I'm leaving it. And, like, this man, for instance, like, I've known him for about 7 or 8 years, and every time I speak to him and we still communicate, he'll say to me, you've saved my life. You know, doing this has saved my life. And recently I spoke to him after everything he's gone through. Like, he is, firstly, I saw him last year. He looks better now than 7 years ago, and I said to him, wow, like, I'm so impressed. You look like you've regenerated. And his wife has as well, even though she hasn't done the workshops herself, but together, you know, they created this beautiful relationship now, and it was horrible and destructive before. And, you know, he really changed his diet. He changed so many things in his life, his work as well. And last time I spoke to him, which was maybe a few weeks ago, he called me and he said, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, I've just sold my business for millions of dollars, and this is the first time in my life where I just have total freedom of choice to do anything that I want to do. And he's like, I'm so excited about my new exploration, and life just gets better and better for me. But I have to say, he did an enormous amount of work and transformation. And I said to him,
I mean, I think it's interesting how you work in your workshops, is that you then get people to really look hard at themselves and their and the way they are interacting with the world, and then how that's, of course, reflecting in their bodies. You're in a way making people look at that, aren't you? Like,
definitely, because I totally believe that your body reflects your life, and your life reflects your body. And we got to, you know, when one changes, the other one follows.
Mm. So people have to come to your workshop really expecting not just to learn something, how to work with other people, but really how to work with themselves. That's really the key to your workshop, isn't it?
Well, it definitely is, you know, and it's, you know, it's getting to know themselves and letting go of the parts that don't work and embracing what does, you know, and learning to love themselves, but, like I said, not as a concept, but as, like, a reality, a daily experience. And I do ask them, I'll say things like, what does it actually mean for you to love yourself every day? And what does it look like in reality for you? What does it look like in the morning? What does it look like during the day? What does it look like in the evening? What, when you have that focus, what decisions do you make? And this is, you know, you asked me that at the beginning of our conversation. This has been a huge focus for me. And every day, the decisions that I make for that day and the following day and whatever, it is, are based on, okay, I love myself. What can I do to show, like you said, that child part, but also my whole being, that I am being loving to myself? And I'm not saying that I do it brilliantly every day, but throughout the day, many times during the day, I reflect back and I might be holding some tension in my shoulders, for instance, and all of a sudden I've just recognized it and taken a deep breath and relaxed. Or I might go, actually, you know, let me just close my eyes and meditate and connect to my body. Or, you know, let me, or, you know, it could be something like saying, you know what, I'm not going to do this thing that I was going to do because it's not actually what I thought that it was, and I'm going to say no because it's better for my body to say no right now. You know, so, or yes to something, you know.
If it's your body or your mind? Doesn't sometimes the mind start to get in there and confuse the body? So how do you tell the difference if it's your body or your mind that's wanting something?
Touch and breath. So it's like if the mind starts going, it's like, and for me personally, but also for a lot of other people, it's like the minute you get ungrounded and too stuck in the mind and your breathing is really shallow, this is where you just got to stop and kind of go, let me reconnect to my body. And that might mean just something as simple as placing your hands you know, on a particular part of your body. Could be a heart, could be a solar plexus, could be, you know, your liver or your head or your throat or any part of your body. And really breathing into that part and just coming back or moving and shaking your body or going for a walk, just, you know, working with color to ground yourself, somehow reconnecting and going like, and touch is very powerful in that. And you would know that as well, you know, working with acupuncture and things like that, that as you physically connect back, it's like, it's almost like, oh, okay, my body is saying, like, this is not okay. Or, you know, and I've had this experience so many times where just because, you know, we all want to be nice in a way, and, you know, I'm not different. So let's say, especially if I'm traveling, I want, you know, I don't want to create dramas, and so I might be nicer than I would be if I was just in my own environment. And, you know, I'll say yes maybe to things that if I was at home I would say no to.
Right.
I started to really go, okay, let me connect to my body now and go, is this okay for me? And if I feel no from my body, even if I want to be nice, I'll talk to the person or whoever it is, and I'll be like, I'll still try to say it in a gentle way, but I'll say, I'm sorry, this is not completely working for me.
I get it. No, I think that's good advice. So you have to really stay in touch with yourself and keep that as a tracking device. And I think that's probably the most important thing you can teach anyone ever, right? I mean, that's like the key to the rest of your life, in a sense. Well, thank you, Ina. Thanks for sharing your adventures in consciousness. So your website is inasegal.com.
Yes, it's inasegal.com or in-light-events.com.
And what are you doing in Mexico? Are you doing a workshop there?
Yeah, I'm actually doing two different workshops that are both 6 days long, and I'm also doing quite a bit of media and interviews for TV tomorrow, I think it is.
Really? And, where in Mexico are you?
Say that again?
Where in Mexico are you?
At the moment, I'm in Durango in Mexico, and then I'm going to Leon, and then I'm going to Mexico City.
Oh, great. Well, have fun. And you'll be back in New York then before you do the Pennsylvania workshop?
Yeah, and then I'll be in New York. Actually, no, I come and then I think I come on Friday night, and then I leave on Monday to go to Denmark. So it's I'm there for 2 days doing the workshop, and then I go off to Europe.
Well, let's meet if you're in town and I'm here, and, you know, we can have some tea.
Great.
All right. Thank you for talking. I'm sorry about some of the technical problems we had going on.
But that's okay.
I think you handled it very well. You must be practicing what you're preaching. And I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad your work is expanding and you're expanding and moving to new levels. So we'll do more. Maybe we'll do an evening together at some point.
That would be great. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that would be fun. We can talk about different aspects of consciousness. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this program. I've been talking to Ina Segal, and The Secret Language of Your Body is one of her books, and you're coming out with this new book in September called, or you don't want to tell us the name yet.
Yeah, The Secret of Life Wellness.
The Secret of Life Wellness. Published by who?
Beyond Words, Atria.
Oh, you're still with Beyond Words, yes. Great, great people there. Good. I'm glad. All right. And, yeah, definitely call me when you're back in New York, and we'll connect.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, newrealities.com, or you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Good night.